Belief in our personal relevance is essential to mental health. We want to believe that our lives matter, and for some that need is manifest in spectacular fashion as we struggle for immortality. Consider the Egyptian pharaoh Imhotep. His body was so effectively mummified 3,000 years ago that a contemporary likeness is still available today. Or how about Presidents Washington, Lincoln, Roosevelt, and Jefferson? Their images carved on Mount Rushmore in the 20th century are virtually indestructible. Or consider Lenin's tomb, the Kennedy Center, the Mario Cuomo Bridge, or Trump Tower. For most of us, though, as we contemplate our legacy, more modest tokens of our lives memorialize our journey. The epitaph on our tombstone, and of course, our obituary. Often these tokens contain picaresque commentary. Droll observer W.C. Fields' tombstone is inscribed, "On the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia." Or what about the ultimate ironist, whose tombstone says, "I told you I didn't feel well." Or another macabre wit whose stone is inscribed, "I'd rather be on the other side of the grass." Or the following epitaph: "Here lies my wife in earthly mold, who when she lived did naught but scold. Peace, wake her not, for now she's still. She had, but now I have my will." But then there is for most of us the ultimate summary of our lives, our obituary. And so this morning we pause to contemplate what message of our lives do we wish to leave behind. It's probably a good thing to spend some time in this endeavor. It might help us to focus on what seems important to us in the here and now. And upon reflection, we might decide, as I did recently, that rather than leave to someone else the task of writing my obituary, I do it myself. At least that way, you'll have some influence, even from the grave, as to how you'll be remembered. For most of us, I suspect that might be important. Consider the following, written by survivors. Faced with the prospect of voting for either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, Mary Ann Nolan of Richmond chose instead to pass into the eternal love of God on May 15th at age 68. Or, brace yourself for this one, folks. Dolores had no hobbies, made no contribution to society, and rarely shared a kind word in her life. I speak for most of her family when I say her presence will not be missed by many. Very few tears will be shed, and there will be no lamenting her passing. There will be no service, no prayers, no closure for the family she spent her lifetime tearing apart. Or, his death deeply regretted by all who never knew him. Sometimes, however, the obituary writer possesses enough skill in writing and has genuine affection for the deceased so that their remarks create a word tapestry that is almost tactile. Consider this. In his free time, John brought an engaging energy, gentle nature, distinctive sense of humor to all he did, whether it be taking care of his rescue pet, Bailey, on Saratoga Lake, enjoying summer days at the racetrack, making his nieces and nephews laugh, or cooking special meals for family and friends. The description is so personally inviting that you wish that you had taken part in the life of the departed and are not just an observer at life's end. Or here's another. Dorothy was a modern Renaissance woman with a flair for drama, a spirited, multifaceted gem who lived by all the world's a stage. Well-versed in literature, history, current events, her colorful storytelling commanded an audience, whether she was in front of a classroom, deliberating at a dinner party over an extra dry martini, or with family and friends. An issue in most obituary is a matter of candor. There's little doubt from Dolores' survivors above regarding their view of her character, but to what extent are we to be forgiven for overlooking a rough patch or two when commemorating our lives or those of others? Consider the widely lionized basketball player Kobe Bryant. He piled up quite a record. 5-time world champion, 2-time Olympic gold medal winner, 18-time all-star athlete, and 4th on the NBA's all-time scoring register. There was, however, the little matter of a rape allegation made against Bryant in 2003, a matter that was never prosecuted because the alleged victim refused to testify but did agree to a civil settlement for an undisclosed amount. Several years ago, I attended a funeral for someone I had known for many years. The service was conducted by a minister who, not surprisingly, given the deceased person's infrequent presence anywhere near a church, did not know the deceased. Apparently, however, and always faithful to the nostrum of never speaking ill of the dead, the minister waxed and waned at great length about what a gentle, loving, faithful, and sober man the deceased had been, a description that was so inaccurate that I found myself with eyes downcast to avoid exchanging glances with others who, like myself, knew the deceased from a starkly different perspective. Now, while it's surely true that a painter often makes a mess in the process of creating art, the presence of that mess usually does not deepen our appreciation for the resulting art that arose from it. Although it is true that artists like Jackson Pollock, whose mess is art, or Ernest Hemingway, whose unrestrained life provided drama for his writing, to what extent, therefore, do the details of our lives contribute to a description, accurate or not, of who we are or were? Life does not so much mimic art as it informs it. For some, their struggles and failures with the messiness of life burnishes the story of their journey. The legacy of those born on third base may be somewhat diminished when they make it to home plate compared with a disadvantaged ball player who overcame adversity to even pick up a bat. The obstacles in our lives deserve to be known, and they often enhance rather than detract from our story. Coded expressions, an obituary such as a friend of Bill, can achieve candor in a dignified way. But consider this epitaph. My wife from me departed and robbed me like a knave, which caused me brokenhearted to sink into this grave. My children took an active part, to doom me did contrive, which stuck a dagger in my heart that I could not survive. Or, Carol Ann Conklin reluctantly left the earth on April 17th, 2025, at the age of 83, surrounded by her family. She is now in the smoking section of the sky with endless Coca-Colas and her greatest love of all, her husband of nearly 54 years, Carl. And then, too, is the temptation for obituary writers to engage in a bit of preaching from the grave. For those trending in this hazardous direction, caution and considerable writerly skill is required. Consider his lengthy service as chair of the Social Justice Committee of his church gave him a renewed appreciation of the place of irony in our lives and profound respect for the grace implicit in forgiveness. And another one, serving as a registered nurse and family planning nurse practitioner at Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood in Albany and Troy for over 20 years, Elizabeth passionately advocated for women's rights to access quality sexual and reproductive health care, regardless of class or race. A theme that resonates over and over again in obituaries is a desire to be remembered for kindness, balance, and sensitivity. Try this one. To Ron, his greatest accomplishment wasn't his career. It was his role as husband and father. He was in every way the best dad and husband in the whole wide world. Or, I would like to be remembered as someone who enjoys living, loving my family, my friends, laughing a lot, caring deeply about the ills of the world, and trying to help in some way. Customarily, and surely in homage to the cliche that a picture is worth a thousand words, most obituaries are crowned with a picture of the recently departed. And oh my, how that causes readers to double back to check on the age of the deceased. A quick glance at the obit photo might leave the impression that among their travels, the deceased miraculously stumbled upon life's elixir, maybe stopping at Ponce de Leon's Spring of Eternal Hope. Perhaps, though, like candor, we might want to reassess the message delivered by using an obit photo taken decades prior to our passing. Surely a more contemporary image, even if posed, suggests character, depth, experience, qualities youth have yet to accrue. It also speaks of sincerity and trust. Perhaps you've concluded from these remarks that I believe an obituary should reflect what you believed in life, what values you adopted and acted upon, what you stood for, along with, and to a lesser degree, what you aspired for. After all, it's over. Time for a reckoning. And obituaries are about the living. Blessed be.